It is that time. Happy Thursday here on 104.5 The Zone, a thirsty Thursday. If you are imbibing, maybe it's not too early for you. Maybe most of you at work. I don't know. Happy thirsty Thursday. Nonetheless, we are here with you on your FM radio dial, on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch TV, wherever it is that you would like to stream this show. We are decked out. Lucas is here. I am here. Will Bowling is here. Daytime baseball is nearly here. Atlanta Braves looking to get off the schneid. 4-game losing streak. They stink, Will. Not just those awful throwback jerseys, but your baseball team kind of sucks.
Please leave the jerseys out of how much the Braves suck. The Braves suck independent of what they are wearing. They could wear the jerseys of the 2018 Red Sox that won the World Series in over 100 games. They would still suck right now. Okay, I'm not mad about it.
I think there's something to do with the jersey. Look good, play good.
Okay.
Got to look better. 615-737.
Yes, that's why Hank Aaron's the home run king. Wearing those jerseys.
All right, back into the shadows. Right, see you, buddy. We got Mike Felder of Stadium coming up next, one of their fine college football analysts. We'll talk about this quarterback conversation that we've been having over the course of this morning show. You can comment on the Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, or Twitch TV stream with any of your comments, questions, thoughts, and concerns, if you so choose, like Mark Lewis at Dayton Buckeye ML. Great topics on the zone today. Praise is pouring in already, boys. No, just wait, Will. Just wait. Great topics on the zone today, especially when you actually started talking about them after the IU gear, the fine bucket, the studio props, how far you live from the studio, and why you were late for work. After that BS that has nothing to do with the topics of quarterback conspiracy theory and top five. I have 3 hours.
Great. That's great.
That happened. That lasted, 15 minutes? I'm sorry, sir. Did I bother you? Did I make your commute to work a little less enjoyable because we had to work some, or we didn't have to, because we felt the need to work some human interest into this? Because I wanted to tell you how my day started. Perhaps I may, it's just me, Mark. What do you mean, Mark? Tell me what you would. This is what for every tweet that we get like this, and it's okay. I appreciate Mark listening because clearly he was listening closely because he got everything.
Yeah, no, he knew exactly what we went through.
He nailed it. What I'm saying is, for every tweet like that, I wish that we had the opportunity for these people to call it, and I do mean these people, these internet people, these trolls. These people who slum down there in the Twitter sewers. I wish we had the opportunity for them to, call in real quick and just say, okay, bud, go for it. Host the show.
No, not host the show.
Tell me what you would. No. What do you mean? Host the show.
Mark can at least, send Will the podcast rundown. That takes one thing off my plate. He's clearly listening intently. He ran through everything we've talked about. Mark, just get Will's information, shoot him a DM or something, and help me do my job.
Oh, so you're trying to put him to work?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're going to listen that closely, at least make Lucas's life easier. 615-737-1045 is how you can pour in with all of your praise. So, at this point, the quarterback conversation is the dominant conversation, right? Outside of Jadeveon Clowney going to the Cleveland Browns, which I just saw on First Take, 14 days to the draft, the quarterbacks are what's dominating the conversation because there are so many of them because they play for high-profile universities, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and then the other two, one an FCS team in North Dakota State, and then Zach Wilson at BYU. Whoa. Do you have a pop-up?
Sorry.
What happened there?
Just testing out some music for later.
That's a carry fine. On. That's a fine.
That's a fine.
You
That's
have any
fine.
Cash?
That's fair. That's fair.
We have the fine. Well, let me not piss Mark off again. Mark, I've got the fine bucket. $2 so far this morning and a bunch of change in the fine bucket. Do you have any money back there?
I'd have to run down to my car.
Yeah. No, you're going to. Not right now, because we're working.
I've got a Chick-fil-A, little free sandwich coupon.
Oh, no. Didn't you just say that you needed to be fined when you screw up?
Yeah, but
so here am I giving you.
Does that count?
Yeah. What do you mean? 100%. That we should have different fine systems. We do different jobs. When there's a pop-up that plays in the middle as I'm trying to work my way into serious racial quarterback conversation, and you're out there playing a pop-up for HelloFresh, no free ads or something like that, because you're looking for music, you should absolutely be fined a dollar, no?
I'm just asking if the Chick-fil-A coupon counts.
Hell no.
Okay, all right. I can run down to my car after the show.
How many days in a row have you eaten Chick-fil-A breakfast? I know you went to Panera this morning. How many days?
Like four. You don't have breakfast food at home, and it's right there next to the house, and I'm just building up rewards on the app.
The rewards.
It's not good, though.
The rewards just get... The rewards, they do get you. It's all a trap. Anyway, quarterbacks, conspiracy theories, and more. God forbid we make Mark angry. 615-737-1045. Warren Sharp of Sharp Football, one of the best analytics people in the business, and you can go back and forth about how serious you take analytics, how seriously you don't take analytics, whether analytics are good for the game, bad for the game. In fact, that's an interesting conversation that we can have at some point during the summer as we watch baseball together, because I feel like people, you know, I used to hate people who complained about baseball analytics, but now that baseball analytics are starting to affect how the game is played, like, I understand those people's complaints. A conversation for another day. In the meantime, there's an article out on Sports Illustrated about Trevor Lawrence. Warren Sharp has taken some of these screenshots from the article about Trevor Lawrence. Now, full disclosure, I haven't yet read the SI piece, but it's obviously focusing on Trevor Lawrence, human interest piece, all right? And here are the quotes. This one first from Trevor Lawrence. I think that it's unhealthy just always thinking that you've got to prove somebody wrong, that you've got to do more, you've got to be better. That's from Trevor Lawrence. I think that it's unhealthy just always thinking that you got to prove somebody wrong, you got to do more, you got to be better. Okay, fine. I can understand how that can become unhealthy for your psyche. Then there's another quote from Trevor Lawrence's dad. He's not, quote, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs, end quote. All right, that's interesting. Maybe not necessarily something you want out there in the ecosystem while teams are evaluating whether to draft you, given that the draft process is about teams looking for reasons not to draft you. Then there's this one from Trevor Lawrence's high school coach. He could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine. What Warren Sharp has pointed out on Twitter is that seeing so many people applauding the refreshing take from Trevor Lawrence in the SI piece, wonder how these things would look if these quotes came from Justin Fields and his camp. Could you imagine? Could you imagine after all of the stink that came up over the course of the last couple weeks with Justin Fields, with Dan Orlovsky going on Pat McAfee's show and talking about, well, where's his desire? I've heard from people that they're looking for where his desire to be great is. Trevor Lawrence, his family, his high school football coach, has just said the same thing about Trevor Lawrence. Why the hell are we still doing these dog whistle things between black and white quarterbacks? Why?
And if he's not the surefire number one pick, like Urban Meyer has said it publicly, we're taking Trevor Lawrence. So safe to say Urban Meyer has informed Trevor Lawrence, we are taking you with that first pick, right?
Yeah, safe to say. I mean, he basically said as much to Peter King in the Monday, whatever Peter King's column is called now, Football Morning in America.
If he doesn't have that security blanket, I don't think there's any way he says something like this. This would make any quarterback's draft stock plummet, Justin Fields especially. But anybody that is not the surefire thing that Trevor Lawrence has been and still is would never say this.
I just can't get over how clear and obvious the differences are every time we do this, and why it always has to be a black quarterback versus a white quarterback. But like the way that people take the quotes just based on these people, just based on who the individuals are, what they look like, their backgrounds, things of this nature, it drives me insane. And it happens every damn year. We're going to talk about this with Michael Felder coming up next. We'll get into the quarterback discussion with Mike. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, these quotes from Trevor Lawrence. I'm certain that it's going to be received with much nuance, as all things in sports talk conversation are. But it could not be any more clear and obvious to anybody how much better Trevor Lawrence is being received by saying things that would get Justin Fields absolutely lambasted. Now, I don't know if that's a fair place to put Michael Felder of Stadium in right as soon as the conversation starts. But, Mike, I thank you for joining us first and foremost. You can follow Michael Felder of Stadium at In the Bleachers on the socials. Have you seen these quotes from Trevor Lawrence, his dad, and his high school football coach?
Yes, I have. And it's one of those things. I think you're spot on with the idea that other guys would get destroyed for this.
Ugh.
I think it speaks to, I don't know. I don't know the answer, honestly. If we get into it, because nobody's upset with him about any of it. It doesn't seem, at least.
Nobody. And this is, I mean, Warren Sharp is the person who, and it's not an original opinion by me. I saw Warren Sharp pointing it out on social media, but it just hit me so clearly and obviously after all of the things that Dan Orlovsky, whether advertently, inadvertently, just dragged Justin Fields through over the course of the last couple of weeks, to see this now out there and see Trevor Lawrence celebrated for it, but like because immediately my mind goes to, okay, black quarterback, white quarterback, why are we doing two different things with two guys at the same position of a different race? But then I go back to Josh Rosen and see some similarities between the quotes that are being put out by Josh Rosen at the time during his pre-draft process during the season, how he was comfortable walking away from football at any time, he would be fine with it, and say what is it about Trevor Lawrence that makes this evaluation so much different than those two examples? Maybe they aren't parallel situations, but that's really what sticks out to me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because he's so good that everyone's like, I don't care what he says. We know how good he is. I'm glad you brought up the Rosen point. I was going to say, if Zach Wilson says this same stuff, now we do have red flags around Zach Wilson, right?
Right.
If Mac Jones or Trey Lance said this stuff, we've got red flags around both of them. And obviously you mentioned Rosen. Baker Mayfield had a little bit of an issue because of the way that he was just talking about things. And the same thing with Kyler Murray. So it feels like he's Teflon in terms of Trevor Lawrence. And the reality for me is a lot less of it's not fair to the other guys from the sense of Trevor Lawrence shouldn't talk like this. The reality for me is everybody should get to talk this way.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's the part that I find frustrating is, he really does kind of seem to be the only guy that gets to talk this way. Obviously, we know that Andrew Luck has stepped away from the game, but people are fine with it. But everyone should get to talk the way that Trevor Lawrence gets to talk, and I think that to me is the issue. It's not wanting him to come down to and be policed the way that everybody else is. It's more I want everybody else to be lifted up to the. And accepted for what they think and how they feel the way that he is.
Yeah, just to be able to speak, it's one of the most frustrating things because, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but my day-to-day obligation is Tennessee Titans reporter. That's what I'm tasked with doing. I get to host the talk show on top of it. And the most irritating thing to me is how often we take quotes from guys that are largely meaningful or meaningless, just them being comfortable or being a little too comfortable with media, for lack of a better term, giving their honest opinion, and then it gets blown up in a way that completely deters them from ever saying anything interesting to us ever again. It is one of my perpetual frustrations about dealing with athletes as a regular basis, as a member of the media, because I understand why they're in such a bad spot.
Yeah, the whole goal is to say nothing, and I don't think there's a better example of it than Alabama.
Yeah.
Right? Alabama, the entire goal from the top down, Nick Saban to his players, is to say nothing. We're here to win football games. We're going to trust the process. And that's all born out of the idea that there could be a controversy. When they were going a couple years ago, when they were going through the Jalen Hurts versus Tua situation, and both guys were kind of pretty mum on it, and then Jalen Hurts finally said something at the end, it was a completely different, people were like, oh, no, we don't want this. And it's, people from inside were like, no, we don't want the turmoil. We don't want to have to deal with this. And then on the other side of it, once he got to Oklahoma, he opened up a little bit more because he was the guy. And it was a completely, I don't know, it's you're spot on with the idea that the reason guys never say anything is because they end up getting crucified by people who think that they're not humble enough or people that are pocket watching in terms of how much money they have. So they should just be grateful for this. It's, it's a really rough fight. I mean, we're watching it in the NBA with Kevin Durant, right? Like, we're watching it with him where he's now gotten into it with Chuck, Shaq, and now Shannon Sharp, of him just trying to stand his ground and say, I shouldn't have to take this, and you shouldn't be able to make stuff up with me.
I, by the way, I never want Kevin Durant to log off ever. I hope this man stays as petty as humanly possible on social media. I don't know. I can't be a pleasant way to exist, because it's clear that he reads, hears, and sees everything. And at that level of fame, I can't possibly imagine. But for my entertainment purposes only, Kevin Durant is an absolute joy on social media. Michael Felder of Stadium here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Make sure you follow Mike at In the Bleachers. All right, so we've been talking about this over the course of this morning, Mike, because I was watching Kirk Herbstreit on SportsCenter last night. They were talking about the potential top five quarterbacks, or the quarterbacks who have the potential to go in the first round. There being five of them right now. We know the names, of course: Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, in no particular order, before somebody starts screaming at me on social media. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, who is the most unknown, and then Mac Jones. With these quarterbacks, though, I don't know what to make of this trend, where when you go back to the last 5 years of NFL drafts and the top five, the quarterbacks selected in the top five. Now, I understand that not all of these guys are going to go in the top five, but just from that sample size, there's eight quarterbacks. Seven of the eight guys selected within the top five from the 2014 draft to the 2018 draft, they're no longer with the team that drafted them. We obviously know a lot about that with Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston in 2015. You talk about Blake Bortles, a situation unto himself. But Goff, Wentz, the list goes on and on. Mitch Trubisky. Is there a trend to be made from that about, one, what teams are doing through the evaluation process about these quarterbacks? And two, how, if at all, quarterbacks are becoming more disposable given how the college game continues to trickle up to the pros and you can largely scheme around these guys?
So I think there's a couple things. One, I don't think quarterbacks are becoming more disposable. I think they're becoming more valuable because of the way that the game is built. Obviously, they're making the game a little bit easier for quarterbacks with that trickle up from college to the NFL. But also, the rules in the NFL, the way the game is officiated, all skew to, if we can get a quarterback that can do it, nobody's going to be able to stop us. Obviously, Pat Mahomes. And you look at some of these other guys. We get a guy that can do it, we'll be unstoppable as we have some pieces around him. So I think that's part of it. The other part, though, we're talking about, what, a 13% hit rate, right, in terms of the quarterbacks right, with the team that drafted them. We're looking at one out of eight is 13%, if I'm not mistaken. And somebody can check my math on that. I'm not the best at it. But
if we were better at math, we wouldn't be doing this for a living.
That's why my brother's an engineer. So I look at this, and what it means to me is there are a couple things. One, you mentioned Mariota, you mentioned Bortles. I think those are two different situations, but I also think they're situations that speak to, we didn't get the results that we really wanted, so we're going to move. And that's the part that feels, I don't know, because that's the part that feels weird. Obviously, you guys are closer to the Mariota situation than I am, and obviously, with Bortles, it was a situation where they looked okay, but it seems like right now okay doesn't feel good enough. Does that make sense?
What I'm saying? Oh, sure.
It seems like okay isn't good enough, and you have to produce, you have to do numbers, you have to, like, there are two things, Buck, and I want to put them on. There's two things. One, there is a massive level of quarterback envy when fans watch, whether it's Mahomes or obviously Brady. When you watch a guy like a Drew Brees, when you watch these guys play, you're envious because you know your guy can't do that. So there's envy. And then on the other side of it, and this speaks to what we were talking about with five guys going in the first round, I think we have two and a half, maybe three first-round quarterbacks in this draft. We're going to see five guys go. There's a massive amount of, as the kids say, thirst for quarterback. So that you combine the envy with the thirst, and now all of a sudden you see guys be overdrafted. You see, I mean, come on. Like, the Panthers drafted Will Greer early in the second round, and there was nothing that said this guy's going to be an NFL, like, he's going to be a long-time NFL quarterback. And so they've already made moves. So if you pick a guy in the second, if you pick a guy in the second round, and he's of no value to you, so you have to go and give away picks to get Sam Darnold, who already is one of those guys. He's one of the statistics that you mentioned.
Yes.
That's one of those top draft picks that's no longer with his original team that they're willing to part ways with so they can have another run at it with Fields or Wilson. It's everybody is chasing something that in the reality of football, it's hard to get. It's hard to get a franchise quarterback. It's harder now than ever. Because it used to be, if you could get a quarterback that could go 15 for 21 and throw for 187 yards, and then you had two running backs that ran the ball exceptionally well, that was all you needed, right? Like, that's what Jim McMahon was for the Bears. This wasn't a guy that's throwing for thousands and thousands and thousands of yards. He was a guy that handed the ball off most of the time, hit some big play actions down the field, and picked up some first downs by throwing it to the tight end. That's what Vinny Testaverde was. That's what Vinny Testaverde played in the NFL for, like, what, 20 years?
Yes.
Doing those things. But now the spotlight, and the spotlight's always been on the quarterback, but now the spotlight is on what the quarterback actually does, his actual production, the numbers that he puts up. And because of that, it is harder to be good, but once you see good, you don't want to see okay anymore.
Well, that's because what that stat line that you just rattled off, I think I've seen Nick Mullins do that like five times. Like, the offenses in football are so much more refined now at the NFL level, and obviously so much creativity trickles up from the college game that you can get so many different dudes to give that exact Jim McMahon-esque stat line that you just mentioned. And that I guess when I say disposable, Michael, Michael Felder of Stadium here with us on 104.5 The Zone, I guess that does it seem to you that teams, NFL teams, are more comfortable moving on? Whereas not even that long ago, you're seeing Goff get this massive contract. You're seeing Wentz give this massive contract. And the breaking point, honestly, here felt like it was Jameis and Mariota, where both the Buccaneers and the Titans are looking at the situation. And obviously Ryan Tannehill made this light years easier on the Tennessee Titans because he's now one of the most ruthlessly efficient quarterbacks in the sport, because what they have built around Tannehill here has maximized him incredibly. But why did it take NFL teams to get to this point, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask you, because it felt like for so long, teams were comfortable handing out contracts that Jimmy G, $27 million a year. For what?
Yeah. No, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. And I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying. I think that once you see great, once you see someone who's remarkable, incredibly talented, it now we're in a spot where, like, we've kind of gone through the looking glass, right? Where you had a quarterback that was okay, you just hang on to him because you know the idea is it's just going to get worse if we don't keep him. And now the idea is, yeah, but I want to get one of these better guys. I want to get one of these better guys. And so it's a dog chasing its tail, and we'll see what happens. I think this is going to be an interesting draft because, like, for me, obviously Lawrence is one. I think Field is two. And I think Wilson is three, but I think Wilson and Fields are close. I think we can see a legitimate sink or swim with both Lance and Mac Jones that speak to the things that you and I are referencing, because Mac Jones is going to be an okay quarterback, and he's going to be an okay quarterback for a while. And which team is going to be happy with him being an okay quarterback because they have enough pieces to make things happen? And Trey Lance could be an outstanding quarterback. But who's going to give him a chance to grow? Because the way that I look at it is, Mac Jones is moving one level up, right? Yeah. From the SEC, moving into the NFL, he's moving one level up. Game's going to get a little bit faster for him. He's going to have to process a little more, learn a bigger playbook. He has to make some of his own decisions. Okay, he's moving one level up. But Trey Lance is moving, let's call it two levels. It might be three. But he's moving at least two levels up. Because he's moving up from FCS to FBS to the NFL, which means the game's going to get even faster for him. Now, he's supremely talented, but how does that talent take to a new offense, and how does that talent take to a system, and how much time do you give him to be good? Because I think that's going to be a big part of the problem. Listen, if you put him in a situation like Mitch Trubisky was put in Chicago, where he has to be ready to rock and roll immediately, that's not going to work for him. It's not going to work. If you put Mac Jones in the same scenario, that's where he's probably going to thrive. You give him some pieces that are already installed. You give him some things that work. Mac Jones is going to be your guy. So to me, I think they're 4A, 4B, depending on what you're looking for. But the way that quarterbacks are, especially now, expected to come in and immediately compete for the starting job and then especially expected to play well, it's a rough spot to be in. And who picks you is as, if not more important than how good you are.
Oh, without question. So many more quarterbacks get ruined than developed. That's a trend that's been the case for as long as quarterbacks have been picked. Michael Felder of Stadium here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Follow Michael at In the Bleachers on social media. Michael, I want to ask you about the one-time transfer rule here in just a second, but since we're on this subject of quarterbacks, Trey Lance, the commercial is running on NFL Network right now, literally as we speak in the studio with the TV that I'm watching. It's Josh Allen essentially giving a pep talk to Trey Lance because Trey Lance, small school prospect, Josh Allen, small school prospect, a lot of the same types of conversations being had around these two players through the pre-draft process. And what I've seen it a million times at this point. Josh Allen is basically telling Trey Lance, there's going to be all kinds of people saying stuff about you. Don't listen to them. Just go out there and be great. The difference for me, though, Michael, because it's a lovely sentiment, and I think I'm certain with the kind of talent that we see. I mean, it takes, I don't care who you are, what level of football you're playing at, if you don't throw an interception with as many passing attempts as a starting quarterback will have, understanding that it's been a long time since he's played an actual football game due to COVID, at least though we had seen Josh Allen, at least though we had seen a decent enough sample size of Josh Allen, I respect what Trey Lance is. I just don't think, given the circumstances of COVID, of what it's done to this pre-draft process in particular, that we may never see another Trey Lance situation again, just because, I mean, how rare is it going to be for somebody like this with such a small film sample size to go in the top 10 of the NFL draft?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see it for a while either. I think obviously circumstantially with the FCS moving their season to spring, and that's not conducive to what's best for him and his family. So he's decided I'm gonna skip this year. What we would have seen was another year of him playing football, and we didn't get that. So we've got 17 games on tape, and hopefully he's just been getting better and working on his things and learning and doing all those things while he wasn't playing. So this is going to be interesting. Josh Allen was an interesting one because he speaks to what I was talking about though. It took him an extra year to pop, right? Year one, very down the middle. And year two, okay, now he looks like we've got some potential. We got something to work with here. Guy that threw for 4,500 yards and almost 40 touchdowns. So now we're in it. Now we're doing it. And I think Lance is going to be very similar to that. Might even take, maybe it's 2 years instead of the 1 year. But the big key is going to be him building on his knowledge and quickening to the speed of the game. And by speed of the game, I don't just mean pass rushers. I mean his wide receivers. And he's going to be playing with a different caliber of wide receiver than he's ever played with. And that's a part of this that, for me, when I watch Mac Jones, it's a thing that it's a thing that Mac Jones has already battled. And I don't think he won that battle because for me at least, too often I see Mac Jones throw short of Jalen Waddle, throw short of Devonta Smith, which brings the defensive back into the play after they've run a great route and created space. But he understands, I need to get the ball out quicker. I think for Lance, that's going to be one of the hurdles of the speed of the game. Not just guys coming after you, it's guys that you're trying to hit down the field.
All right, let's talk quickly because we're almost out of time here. Michael Felder of Stadium here with us on 104.5 The Zone. The NCAA Division I Council, they voted unanimously in favor of the measure that will allow athletes in all sports to transfer once without sitting out a season. The one-time transfer rule that's been discussed ad nauseum across every sports platform that there is. It's the biggest effect of any of the sports, though, Mike, or at least any of the sports that the vast majority of the public cares about, is the effect that it has on college football, which is basically being compared to free agency. Do you think that this was the right decision, and do you think it will cause some kind of issue with the structure of college football as we currently know it?
I do think it was the right decision. I also do hope that it is a disruptor with respect to college football. And that disruption for me is how players are treated. And a lot of folks, whenever a player transfers from a school, a lot of folks either go, hey, we didn't want him anyway, or he's a bad seed. And that's not always the case. A lot of time, or people are going, he's lazy, doesn't want to work hard, he doesn't want to compete. And that's not always the case. I think a lot more cases, because talking to a guy like Max Brown who transferred from USC to Pitt, and talking to other guys that have transferred, and people have asked me why I didn't transfer once my coach got fired at UNC. The reality is, most guys love the place that they are. That's why they're there. And then, whether it's a coaching change or it's the way the coaching staff treats you when you're not playing, there is a massive hierarchy in a lot of college football programs between starters, two deep guys, and then guys that are threes and fours. And people don't expect them to be twos and ones ever. And those guys don't like the way they get treated a lot of times, so they elect to leave. I point to Randy Edsall at Maryland when he got there, and they just didn't like the way he treated them. And so they lost like 20-something guys off that roster immediately. And that's 27 scholarships gone. That's 27 guys you got to fill up. And that's going to take multiple years to do that, which is why that program has been in disarray. But for me, I think it does provide the freedom. And hopefully for me, the disruption is coaches treating their players like people, not like parts. And that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm hoping happens, because that's the way you build that program. And this is, you can say everything you want about Dabo's 20, but one thing that Dabo's done is reduced Clemson's attrition rate tremendously.
Yeah.
And they have guys that are willing to be backups, or willing to be backups because of the way they get treated inside that program. And I hope that that kind of spreads throughout college football, where guys recognize, I'm here, I am going to get my education, I'm going to stick at this school, and I don't mind being the backup, I don't mind playing some scout team, because I know that they still care about me as a person, and I think that's going to be critically important.
God forbid we humanize college football. Michael Felder of Stadium in the Bleachers on the socials is where you follow. Mike, thanks for hanging out. It's good to catch up, brother. Thank you for making the audience and myself smarter.
Oh, man, always good to hear from you, man. Take it easy.
All right, when we come back, Gray, oh, no, he just dropped off. He waited through that whole thing. Man, Gray had a Johnny Manziel thought, and I was very excited to take it. He must have been passionate about it, because that man waited about 20 minutes. Anyway, we'll talk about the quarterbacks and more, plus some Vols information coming up next. I found the most annoying thing in the world. I've discovered it. It has entered into my studio. It is Will Bowling, but not Will Bowling the person. Not Will Bowling, the personality even. Not even Will Bowling's lack of confidence when he comes in here and talks about his dating life. It's okay. I still respect it, I think. No, the most annoying thing in the world is doing a live radio show while watching daytime baseball with Will Bowling in the studio whilst the Braves are on television. You going to make it? I'm worried about you. Yeah, make sure your camera's on so that people can see you.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
No.
None of this comes from a place of reason. This is irrational anger.
You're just sitting here chirping
at the local professional baseball.
Lucas and I are talking about, you know, what's coming up next. Not that it's deterring me from doing my job, because it has inherently created more content to help me do my job. So thank you.
Yeah.
You're sitting here. I'm talking to Lucas back and forth. All of a sudden I hear, come on. When I look up at the screen.
It's because they're about to lose 5 games in a row. 4 of them to the Miami freaking Marlins.
Why are they so bad?
How long do you have?
I have literally,
I know you have about 7 minutes. You have about 10 seconds for me to actually explain this, and before you're going to lose caring.
Well, not me. The people who are listening to this.
Well, yeah, which means you're going to lose you're going to lose interest in what I'm saying. They've got 4 guys below the Mendoza line right now. That's why.
It's a problem.
They've got guys that will hit who just aren't hitting yet, and it's fine. But I'm going to be irrationally angry about it.
Do you have confidence that the bats will return?
I mean, it's 13 games.
Bruce Drennan, we know that you cannot take, no matter how insignificant one of 162 games might be to the common fan, Bruce Drennan knows that there is enough to find in game one of 162 to get upset about.
Fair weather idiot.
That's what I'm saying. Bruce knows.
The equivalent of one game in the NFL compared to 16, I guess now 17. I should have recalculated this to 17.
Everybody's going to be just have a miserable time figuring out the math between 9-8 and 8-9. Like, basically, that's not a big difficulty.
Every 10 games in Major League Baseball is equivalent to one NFL game.
Yeah.
So right now it's like the Braves are 0-1 in a 16-game NFL season because they've massively underachieved in the first 11. 12 now.
They keep messing with their lineup, trying to get more offense.
Well, the lineup is now better because they've moved Freddie Freeman back to the second spot with Ozuna third because Ozzie Albies is hitting 141 in the number two spot, and Freddie Freeman was the NL MVP last year hitting second. But you've got to construct the National League lineup now without the designated hitter,
right?
Which is different than the American League lineup where you want your best hitter second.
So one of the most irritating things in baseball, the fact that there's that big, just that the strategic or the strategy of baseball is so different between the two conferences.
The thing that they're going to do, I think, they're testing this in the independent leagues now, is that they're going to have a DH that you forfeit when you take your starting pitcher out of the game. So you have the DH for your starting pitcher, and then from there you get the strategy of National League Baseball with double switches, how long to keep a guy in, do you pinch hit, do you have your relief pitcher bunt, and then your relief guy has to be in the nine spot or wherever you put your DH for the remainder of the game. It also takes away the opener, which Major League Baseball, I think, wants to get rid of, is these teams putting in an opener the first time through the lineup and then go into their bullpen for their starter to then come into the game.
Braves currently down 2-0 to the Marlins on a four-game losing
streak.
Morale
is low.
What's that comparison in the NFL? Would that be if, like, in the AFC, pass interference was a spot foul, but in the NFC it was a 15-yard penalty?
Maybe. That's probably the best way to describe it.
This is so stupid.
I want to ban the shift.
Like, these are the kind of things that make, like, fringe casual baseball fans be pushed away from baseball.
I'm watching Braves games because I know people in the audience care about the Atlanta Braves. But stuff like this pisses me off.
I feel somewhat personally responsible for your interest in the Atlanta Braves. True.
Why? Do you feel good or bad about that?
Because we have these conversations on and off the air, like, every time I'm in here, which is now every day.
That's baseball season. Yeah, like I said.
Best time of the year.
It's 3 hours a day of me talking and people care about the Braves. So, tangentially, if we have to talk about the Braves or if something comes up with the Braves that we need to talk about, I would like to know what the hell I'm talking about.
That's fair.
615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. So, among the other things that Will Bolling does annoyingly, he does many things well.
I thought you were going to say he does many things annoyingly first. I'm just going to walk out. Lucas, you're running the video rest of the day. I'm out.
One of the things that he's done well is creating the Zone digital streaming network, which you can watch on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch TV. Hello to everybody. If you would like to participate in the comment section, we welcome your participation, as well as on the phone. 615-737-1045. Now, we're going to... Maybe we'll do that coming up next. Lucas Panzeca, his primary competition for the public address, the voice of Nissan Stadium, it has been released. The Titans are doing this American Idol style because the content season is dry and everybody needs clicks. But we will get to that here in a second. In the meantime, we will take Smokey Ben's call. He wants to talk about the Tennessee Titans draft. What's going on, Smokey Ben?
Hey, I appreciate it, Buck. And with all the format changes, man, I love your show and the energy you bring. It's great to have somebody that's dedicated to football, number one, and a big Titans fan. I've been doing mock drafts for years. I called in and talked to Coach Mack last night about Zavin Collins, the linebacker. I just wanted to get your thoughts. I don't think any of the top three corners are going to be there unless we get lucky with a Caleb Farley situation, kind of like Jeffrey Simmons at the injury. What position do you think the Titans need to prioritize? Is it just best player available, even if the linebacker isn't the pass rushing demon we need? Or do we get a playmaker like Terrace Marshall in the first? And real quick, also, McNeil, the nose tackle from North Carolina State, he's going to be there in the second round, and he's a heck of a guy. Just give me your thoughts on that. I appreciate it, Buck.
Hey, thanks so much, Smokey Ben. We appreciate the call. 615-737-1045. So I assume he's talking there about the first round, and in the first round, I would tell you, if you stick at 22 overall, you would go best player available at that point because you don't know where the runs are going to come. You don't know when the corners are going to start going. You don't know when the wide receivers are going to start going. You have needs. You have needs at tight end. You have needs at tackle. You have needs at safety. I mean, there are a great multitude of positions that the Tennessee Titans still need to use the draft to address. Now, here's something that factors in that Rhett Bryan brought to our pre-show meeting yesterday that we will talk at more length probably as probably in the week leading up to the draft, I would think. Now, we've had a lot of conversations about trading out of the first round. There is a really, really good reason for the Tennessee Titans to find any possible way to trade out of the first round. And I'll tell you what that is coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.